text from Luke's Gospel that I hadn't considered until this year to be a part of the themes of Christmas. Luke 17 and following verses 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Well, it is the season of thank you notes, among other things now. And I've still got a few left to write. I've been richly blessed this season, as I suspect have most of us. I know people that kind of keep track. You know, have I gotten the same number of thank you notes that correspond to the number of gifts I sent? You know, and it sort of becomes transactional. And yet, the folk way and etiquette of writing a note of thanks is, I think, less a transaction than the result of an inspiration. How can you not be grateful for the blessings of the day, the season, and in particular, perhaps, the blessings with your name on them under the Christmas tree? I was wondering how I might phrase a thank you note to God for the gift of Jesus. They don't give you quite enough room on those little, you know, card-sized deals. And in the spirit of Jesus' response to the grateful foreigner, which is really more the point of the story in Luke's Gospel, it was the foreigner who sort of got the message, and Luke's Gospel is a way of proclaiming that Jesus' ministry is for all. But as a way of catching the spirit of that, I wonder if a thank you note to God for the gift of Jesus might have more to do with living thanks than what we might say or words we might use or even write down. That living thanks is a way of, in effect, making every day by our behavior a kind of thank you note to God. And I was wondering what the components of that would be. How would God know we were grateful for the blessings of Christmas? Well, I guess in one sense, initially, I think God would know we were grateful by our renewed expressions and maybe increased expressions of tolerance one unto another. One of the themes of Christmas is that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was a real live human being experiencing everything that human beings experience. I don't think he had a bubble around him when they fled into Egypt to protect him from the guards of Herod's army. I think if the guards at Herod's army had caught him, they would have killed him. And maybe God would have turned the death of Jesus in that way into something different. But I really think that God simply pushed the button and let Jesus become a human being to experience all of the blessings and risks that go with being human. Jesus, I think, lived in the company of real people, experiencing all the things that real people experience: grief, guilt, disappointment, anger, joy, happiness, and so on. And it's out of that shared common experience, it seems to me, that is the seedbed of tolerance. It occurs to me that there is nothing that can happen to any one of us that can't, in fact, happen to any one of us. None of us can predict the way the stars line up in our lives or how we might respond to them. And so it seems to me that knowing that not only did Jesus experience all that humans can experience, but that we can experience all that any human can experience. And I'm talking about people that are ill for any reason, that are in turmoil for any reason, maybe that are even incarcerated for any reason. We cannot predict how we would act given the convergence of time and circumstance. If it can happen to anyone, it can happen to me. And out of that, I think, comes growing a sense of tolerance. We squabble about the silliest things. How many times do I catch myself, perhaps as many as do you, if not saying so explicitly, sort of living with the idea that, you know, if everybody else just lived like me, or believed what I believe, or understood things the way I understand, the whole world would be better. Everybody just do it my way. Well, there are lots of ways to be right. There are lots of ways to be decent. There are lots of ways to be just. And the things that even churches squabble about, you know, who's the out-group of the week? The Bible was used to justify discrimination against women, against members of racial and ethnic minorities. Now, again, different types of groups that we decide are not quite as worthy as are we of God's blessing. And so it strikes me that living thanks is at least in part taking a breath and going, well, maybe they aren't doing the way I would do it, but if I were walking where they're walking and if I'd been where they were, who's to say I wouldn't do it any differently? Tolerance involves, I think, an expression of living thanks. So also a kind of integrity that goes with responding in some way to a gift. The wonderful Christmas hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain, is in fact a response, as it were, to the message that Jesus Christ is born. Stand on the mountain and shout it from the high tops that we have a Savior. Isaiah 53 is toward the end of that prophecy, third Isaiah, as it's called. We're pretty sure that it wasn't written by the same one that wrote the earlier passages of Isaiah. It says, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bring good tidings. The feet carry us to where we will go next. The 10 lepers ran away. Jesus said, show yourselves to the priest. And they walked to do that. I suspect limping and then not limping so much. And then, holy cow, I got feet again. And then just beyond joyful. Living the blessing in their lives. An author of which I'm especially fond drew this insight about, go tell it on the mountain, the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. He said, if you want to know who you are, as opposed to who you'd like to think you are, keep an eye on where your feet carry you. As in, how did I get here? What am I doing in this place? And what would it be like if my customers saw me right now? Or my grandchildren? Or my fellow members of the church board of elders? Am I where I value myself to be? Or am I not? Living with integrity involves, I think, shrinking the distance between who I present myself to be and who I really am. Clearly, there's a distance there for everybody. Nobody is completely who they are, warts and all, 24/7 in front of everybody. But there's a sense in which that distance, the wider it gets, the less clear we are that God accepts us as we are. It's a sort of presentation of who we think we ought to think we ought to be, as opposed to a response to the gift where God essentially says, I am grateful that you are who you are. So the next time you have a chance to do it wrong and get away with it, remember the gift. It's not something you need to do. Show your best self, because that's the self that God loved, came to live with, and ultimately bleed and die for. Tolerance, integrity, living thanks. And finally, courage. There's a sense of hope and strength and grit to meet the year ahead that comes as a part of the blessings of Christmas. Always a time to look back on the year just past or nearly. And all of us, quite literally, have experienced great joy and suffered deep loss. And in between, we live as God asks us to try to live, with good courage, to experience the joy and draw strength from it and get yourself through the tough times by meeting the challenges head on. I'm sure when Joseph awoke from the dream where the angel said, "It's okay, I know she's pregnant and I know that wasn't part of what your relationship was about, but it's all right. For behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." The angel didn't make that up. The angel was quoting from Isaiah chapter 7. "You shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. In other words, Joseph, suck it up. Hang in there. Take her to be your wife. Put up with the scorn, ridicule, and maybe quite literally the threat of death, for God is with you. I think that's the biggest gift we get from the sentiments of the Christmas season. You shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is not promising us at Christmas or at any other time that it will necessarily be easy. It will be joyful at times. It will be beyond sad at times. And then and there and everywhere in between, you shall call his name, maybe you shall call upon his name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Be of good courage. You are not alone. Living thanks. Living out the blessings. The blessings which Christmas strengthens us to live out. Greater levels of tolerance. Take a breath. Okay. Maybe there is more than one way to think about this. Integrity. Not necessarily trying to be someone you aren't, but living up fully to the person God knows you to be. And of good courage. For at the end of this day and at the end of every day, you are not alone. God is with us to see us through.